Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
In the WGN Radio studios is WGN Radio News Director Ryan Burrow and a special guest. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. Ryan's been following not only WGN Radio News, but also the Olympics long before you were thinking about it, through the games, which concluded with the ceremonies last night. Last night on our TV, anyway. How are you?
Good. My update. It's over.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sad. It was weird. It was great. I found myself getting more and more into it as the two weeks went along.
And then they stop it, right as you get into it, right? Right as things start getting good,
right,
they shut it down.
I really felt an appreciation for synchronized swimming.
Yes.
Which was on over the weekend, and I just thought it was just so much fun. I mean, the athleticism, really up and down the line for the things these people do so well. It was a joy to watch, however, you know, unusual it might seem to me, right? Like, what do I know about gymnastics or synchronized swimming or diving or track and field? But God bless those people. They were good at it.
And for a split second, you always think, I might be able to do that.
No, I never had that thought. I never had that thought. You brought a guest in. Who came in with you?
I did. Nefeli Papadakis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
USA Gurney's, Judo. She's back.
Gurney's very own. So... you participated from Chicago area, from Gurney, on the USA team in judo, right?
Yes, correct.
So explain that event to me. Is it an individual or is there a judo team? Do you win as an individual or a team? How's that work?
So actually this year they had both. It's been an individual sport for ever, but now they have mixed teams on the very last day of our events. The United States did not qualify a mixed team, but we had four individual athletes that were competing.
We were competing, and you were one of them?
Yes.
I see. And mixed team, meaning men and women?
Yeah, so they have like three weight classes for the men and three for the women, and that's like the mixed team, and they just draw a random weight. That's who fights, and it's kind of best out of five.
So you don't know if you're going to be on that mixed team until they do the random draw then?
Yes, but that's like per country. So you have to qualify enough people.
And
the
USA did not qualify?
Right, we didn't have enough people.
And how does that work? How do you qualify as a team? Does that happen before the Olympics?
Right, so you qualify as an individual, and then from there, if you have enough individuals qualified in the regular listing, you can have a team compete.
But you qualified as an individual. You participated for the United States. And does that go by weight class or age, or how does that work?
Just by weight class.
Weight class. So you were competing against similar shaped, size, weight women from around the world. And then what is judo? What is that event?
So judo is similar to wrestling and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, if you guys are familiar with that sport. We have uniforms, kimonos, judo gis. And our purpose, or our goal, is to throw our opponents flat on their back with speed, force, control. And that'd be an ippon, and that's equivalent to like a knockout in our sport.
So if you get them on their back, you don't have to pin them like in wrestling.
You don't have to pin them. You can. So you can win a couple ways in judo. I can win by throwing someone flat on their back with control and force. That'd be equivalent to a knockout, and you would just win automatically. You can submit someone by doing like an arm lock or a chokehold. And they like tap out, or they don't tap out and get hurt. And you can also pin someone for 20 seconds.
Sounds like a painful event.
Yeah.
Is it?
Not. It can be,
I
guess.
She told me that she's going to take a few weeks off after this latest round. I think she's got to let her body heal a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Really? You did not win. You did not medal. How did you do? How did it go for you?
I went 0-1, unfortunately.
Is it a one-and-done thing?
One-and-done thing.
You don't get to battle back in a different bracket? Wow.
No, unfortunately not. You only battle back if you make it to the quarterfinal. So if you lose your first round, you're out.
How long does that take? How long is a round?
Our matches are 4 minutes long of regulation time.
How long did you train for this?
Oh my gosh. Well, this specific Olympics, the past 5 years because COVID, but my whole life. I started judo when I was 4 years old.
How old are you now?
I'm 22.
Is this your first Olympics then?
Yes, this is my first Games.
You plan on coming back?
100%, yes. I want to compete in Paris.
Congratulations for being, I guess, in your weight class, the best women judo artist in the United States, right?
Thank you.
Represented the USA.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, you know, I think that gets lost a little bit, too. I hope you appreciate what sounds to me like an extraordinary accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you.
What was it like making the team? What was it like going to Japan?
It was very exciting for me. It's been like a lifelong goal of mine to make it to the Olympic Games. We've been to Japan a couple times because judo is a sport that originated there. So almost every judoka that competed at the Olympics has probably trained in Japan for weeks at a time.
Yeah. Well, the Japanese also, I noticed, they said that the host countries always do well relative to other years because they don't have the travel issues and the sleep schedule issues.
And they also get a lot of automatic bids in certain events that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You're basketball, you know, they give you an automatic bid for basketball because you're the host nation.
Yeah, you don't have to qualify in. You just, like, get a spot.
I suppose the Japanese are probably pretty, as you said, proficient in this sport anyway.
Oh, yeah.
What was the country of the woman that you faced in your first round?
I fought Korea first round. She ended up taking fifth place.
Yeah. So did you know her or of her when you were going up against her?
I knew of her. Judo, the Olympic qualifying events, is basically the same 30 to 50 people fighting over and over, and it depends on your draw. So I knew of her. I've never fought her myself before, but...
What did you think going into that match then?
I felt good going in. I was confident going in. I just, the first mistake I made, she capitalized on and unfortunately lost.
And so she throws you out of the ring or throws you on your back?
Threw me on my side and pinned me. So,
yeah. But Ryan referred to the pain sometimes involved in this. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it would seem to me like a lot of the sports are designed these days to keep a person from getting injured or subjecting to great pain. Judo is not that way?
We are that way. If you get arm locked, for example, you know, you have the option to tap out and stop the match. That's like you saying you give up, essentially.
Sure.
And then your opponent wins. So you have the option of like having an out. Some people just don't take that option.
What's a signature move by you? What were you especially good at in judo?
I really like the throw, drop Sayonagi. It's like a drop arm throw. So if someone's like kind of coming towards me, I pull their arm and drop underneath them and kind of use their momentum to throw them on their own back.
As you did this, I couldn't help but notice your biceps working. Can you talk about the training that you do?
Yeah, so pre-Olympics, my training schedule was 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. I had judo every day, 5 days a week, and then I trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu as well, and my third session would be strength and conditioning, lifting weights, running.
Were you doing that here in Gurnee in Chicago?
Yes, I did judo training I do in Chicago, jiu-jitsu training I do in Mundelein.
Mundelein. Okay, yes. So there's a sufficient judo community in the Chicago area, huh?
Yeah, judo, we have a couple bigger clubs in Chicago. COVID definitely took a hit on a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, think about that, right.
Yeah.
So then, what do you have time for school or a job? How does that work?
Yeah, a job, no. This is my job now, full-time. But I do online classes through DeVry's Team USA program, so I'm starting that back up in a couple weeks here.
What was it like? What was the living situation like in Japan?
It was good. I roomed with my two female teammates, and we had one other girl in our quad. So it was four rooms per dorm, I'll say.
Four rooms per dorm.
It was like one big room. It was like a quad, like an apartment style.
Oh, yeah, right. But you all had your own living space then, right?
No, it was more like we just all had a bedroom, and there was one living space. But
what were the COVID protocols like?
We were getting tested every day. Every morning we submitted our COVID test.
How did you do that? Spit into a vial?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Somebody knocks on the door and you hand them a vial with your saliva?
Each sport has like a COVID leader, and ours was our coach. So we turned them into him every morning, and he got to do that fun job.
And then how segregated were you? My understanding was that it was very sequestered.
Yeah. There wasn't that much to do in the common areas. We didn't have a Team USA house this year, which is like normally has video games, bunch of beanbag chairs. So like a common living area for all the athletes to hang out at. That wasn't a thing this year, which I was just told about because, again, this was my first game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I didn't really feel what I was missing out on.
Understood.
So that was nice.
Although what a nice feature that would have been to be right. with all of these great American athletes all hanging out. And
yeah.
Oh, she got one picture, though. We talked before. Who did she get a picture with?
I got a picture with Kevin Durant.
There you go.
So that was cool.
He's pretty tall, isn't he?
He is very tall.
How did you find him? I couldn't imagine you being able to pick him out of a crowd.
What, did you see him just walking through some common area or something?
No, at opening ceremonies. I saw him walking towards us, so I was like, this is better time than any. So.
You got to be in. You were not there for the closing ceremonies, but you were there for the opening ceremony.
Correct. Yes.
I want to ask you a couple questions about that. It's 11:46. We'll pick it up here in a minute on WGN. Right now, we're kind of recollecting a little bit about the Olympics and what a nice brief respite that was. 2 weeks, the games are over, and in our studio is WGN Radio News Director Ryan Burrow and also Nefeli Papadakis, who is a judo Olympian from Gurnee, Illinois. So Papadakis, that's a Greek name, right? That's your nationality? That's your background?
Yes, it is. I am half Greek, half Filipino.
And does your family have a history of athletics or judo?
My dad was a boxer when he was younger, and my mom did like some high school sports, but not judo that much.
So how do you decide to go into judo then?
My dad took up judo when he came to Chicago for school. He went to Northeastern University. And he liked combat sports all his life, and he wanted to get me and my older brother into something, and he really liked judo, so I guess that's the route he went with.
By the way, you're wearing a USA shirt.
Yes.
Is this Olympic swag you got on here?
This is my Olympic swag.
I had a lot of questions about the Olympic swag, because
yeah.
I heard you guys got some swag bags. Usually, the way it works, John, is before all of the athletes take off to go to the Olympics, they go together in a warehouse. I think for Rio, it was Dallas or something like that, and they get fitted with watches and shirts and everything before they head off. This time, because of COVID, wasn't the case, but it sounds like they still hooked you guys up.
Right. We got a lot of two big bags full of stuff.
Like and what?
A Ralph Lauren bag. Filled with like a bunch of shirts.
You remember the what they wore in the opening ceremonies?
Yeah.
That's some swanky stuff.
Yeah. We got our media outfits, a Nike bag filled with a bunch of like nice jackets, shirts, the shoes. I'm a shoes person. I love shoes. So those are my favorite part of it.
Cell phone was in there, right?
Right.
You're kidding.
Hooked up with a cell phone? Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So then what are you going to do with all that stuff?
John was wondering what size you are and if he could maybe.
Well, I suppose some of it might actually be valuable to a collector, to say nothing of you and your family. So I guess, what's the keepsake? What's the memento of these games that you value the most?
Oh, man. I don't even know. We did get to order those, like our Olympic rings. So I got one for myself and one for my dad.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice.
So that's probably going to be my memento.
Well, and you saw most of the athletes have the rings, maybe here, tattoo. I asked her.
Oh, the tattoos.
Yeah.
You going to get one?
I am going to get one in middle September, but on my ribs, I'm going to get my rings. So.
But you know, never mind the tattoos and the swag. I mean, what's the moment that you remember the most? What's that, besides meeting Kevin Durant?
Probably just walking out the day of my competition. I walked out to the main mat area for like to warm up and just going out there and being on the mat and getting the real feel of the arena was really cool.
What was it like performing in, I presume, an empty arena?
It was empty, but all of our Olympic qualifying events had been the same atmosphere for the past year, so it wasn't really that new for me. I wasn't uncomfortable.
What was the dining experience like?
The dining experience was really good. I wasn't really sure what to expect because, you know, cafeteria food's cafeteria food, but everything was very good. I don't think I actually had anything I disliked.
So. That was an international common cafeteria, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
athletes from all around the world were there.
Yep.
So then everybody, I guess, was masked up when they were in that area?
Yes. Whenever you're getting food, you had to sanitize your hands, put on plastic gloves, and then you could grab trays, forks, knives, all that stuff.
And the masks continued outside. I know you said it was very hot, obviously, and you still had to. And there were masked police walking around, right?
Yes. There was definitely people from all the different delegations, the USA House for sure. But they were telling you, you know, if you're not exercising or running, like your mask is on.
Really?
Yep.
So when you were warming up on the floor, were you masked up? Or I guess not then, huh?
Not then, no. That
competitions
was like my competition
were fine, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
competitions and training were fine, but
anything in the village was like pretty strict on.
What was the weather like? We heard it was hot and humid. I mean, could you imagine if you were competing outdoors?
Oh, God.
Was it like a Chicago summer or even then some, huh?
And then some. It was like 95 degrees and like 80-something percent humidity. It was brutal.
I just watched the marathon and noticed that the temperature on the track, you know, that they were running, and they had moved it an hour up, 6 a.m., mm-hmm. and they moved it 500 miles north to a town they thought that would be better. It still wasn't. It was over 100 degrees. It was 115 gosh. Degrees on the pavement as those women were running 26 miles. It was just brutal conditions. Did you get a chance to see much of Japan or Tokyo or any of the cities?
Not so much. I got to see my host city, Ryogasaki City, after the games. We went there. The USA Judo team went for 2 days to do some cultural stuff. We got to meet some kids' judo teams, so that was nice. But actual Tokyo, no.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you. You seem like a great representative of the U.S., and that's, you know, besides winning medals, I think, without getting too sappy here, that's the great thing, right? It's the world coming together.
Of course.
Did you get a little sense of that, like this is more than just a sport?
I did. I think everyone was happy to be there, and just being around like-minded, you know, elite athletes was really cool. It was a really cool experience.
Well, Ryan, you've been mentioning her name a lot when you have been telling us over the last few months about the Chicago area delegation. Thanks for bringing her in, and thanks for being our correspondent of sorts.
We got another Olympics coming up in 6 months. Beijing 2022. You ready? Yeah, you ready to start talking about speed skating and long jump?
I thought it was Paris, but that's
no.
The
that's
next,
2024.
That's the next.
That's what she's going to get ready for. We'll let her go and get trained up for 2024. But unless all of a sudden you decide that you want to start doing snow and ice sports coming up here.
No. Nice of you both to come in. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom's next.